Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Good evening, everybody. I'm your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper, and this is Attention Talk Radio. Today is Wednesday, August the 21st in the year 2013 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and with us in our virtual studio is Dr. Ari Tuckman. Our topic tonight, the impact of boredom on attention, performance, and ADHD. And I have to tell everybody, I'm excited about a lot of shows that we do, but this one in particular, because it's something that I wanted to look at for a long time, and all of a sudden, the stars aligned, all kinds of information made it to my hands, and I bumped into Dr. Tuckman, who is the perfect guest for this particular topic, so I'm exceptionally excited about the show, and I think we're going to learn a lot. And I say we're going to learn a lot, because I always learn a lot when I'm asking questions of Dr. Tuckman, going back and forth, but before we get into the meat of the show, a reminder, everybody in the Dallas area, really throughout the country, Chad's having a regional conference on September the 21st in Dallas. You can get information on that and register on the Chad website. Just go to chadd.org. Also, the annual national conference is going to be November the 7th and 9th in, I think it's Crystal City, which is in the D.C. area. I believe that Crystal City is just outside of the Reagan Airport. And again, on that, you can find more information by going to chadd.org and registering. I know that I'm going to be there. I'm pretty sure Dr. Tuckman's going to be there. So yep. Make sure you you're speaking at the conference, right?
I am.
What are your topics?
I'm presenting on a stronger mindset. So having a strong mindset to overcome challenges and resiliency and flexibility and all that good stuff.
And overcome boredom.
Yes. Hopefully not during my presentation, though.
Touche.
Right.
As a reminder to everybody, Attention Talk Radio is a part of the Attention Talk Network. So we have sister stations, Attention Talk Video, which is a talk show on YouTube. And we have Attention Talk News, which is a subscription-based format that provides updates in print. For access to any of those, go to attentiontalknews.com, attentiontalkvideo.com, and, of course, attentiontalkradio.com. And if you want to catch it all in one place, if you go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio, we have updates really on everything, discussions going on, et cetera. So, real quickly, Dr. Tuckman is a clinical psychologist who specializes in diagnosing and treating children, teens, and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. He's the author of three books: Understanding Your Brain, Get More Done, the ADHD Executive Functions Workbook; More Attention, Less Deficit, Success Strategies for Adults with ADHD; and an Integrative Treatment for Adult ADHD, a Practical, Easy-to-Use Guide for Clinicians. He's a frequent speaker, not only on this program, other programs, and many conferences, and I'm sure other things on his own. He's given more than 250 presentations on ADHD and other topics. He's got over 100 episodes of his More Attention, Less Deficit podcasts, which is, I guess, over a million downloads. Is it a million downloads or a quarter million downloads, Dr. Tuckman?
It's, I don't know, I haven't checked in a while. It's like 1.3 million or something at this point.
Oh, there you go. For more information, you can go to adultadhdbook.com, and you can also go to Tuckman's site. That's TUCKMANPSYCH.com with that. Dr. Tuckman, welcome again to the show, and welcome for a great topic.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I guess to kind of tee this thing off, this came about actually in a committee meeting that I was in with another organization that I'm actually supposed to be working on boredom thing, and all of a sudden I started getting some articles and stuff kind of coming in, and it was interesting because boredom to me, we talk about it all the time, Dr. Tuckman, but in the articles that I've sent you and you've sent me, it's been interesting because it's clear there's not a lot of research that's been done on this.
No, there isn't. And, you know, it's sort of funny also that, I mean, it's a topic that comes up often when you're talking to folks with ADHD, especially if you're talking to kids with ADHD. You know, I'm bored, I'm bored, I'm bored, or that's boring, I don't want to do it, that's boring. But it's sort of like it gets talked about all the time without actually being talked about, you know, in the sense of like everyone says I'm bored, but we don't really – there hasn't been a lot of research, like hard research about it. But even beyond that, people don't really talk about – so what exactly is boredom? What causes it? What happens when people are bored, and perhaps most importantly, what do we do to not feel as bored?
And that's what's interesting is in all the literature that I've seen, there's really not a clear definition of it. Other
right.
than what's interesting to me is in what we've read, there is seems to be a consensus that it's related to attention. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would. That, you know, it seems that, you know, I think it sort of comes down to that people seek meaning in their life. I mean, not to get too, like, big picture about this, but people seek meaning and they seek things that are personally interesting. And sometimes that means fulfilling in the big picture sense. Sometimes it just means, you know, enjoyable in the moment. And, you know, so we seek things that will grab and hold our attention. And when our attention isn't being grabbed and held, that's often the feeling that we have is that we're bored. Like, I'm bored. There's nothing going on here.
I had Dr. David Now on, I think it was a little over a year ago, and we had the topic of the show was, what does dopamine feel like? And it was kind of fun because he was like, you know, dopamine is that yee-haw feeling. It's not, I'm happy, that type of a thing. And and the show was really kind of fun because we talked about, you know, that yearning, you like, for him, it was like, you know, biting into like a sausage or something like that. It was like that yeah kind of feeling that you would kind of get from it. And what was cool about the show is he talked about, you know, we have our own motivational blueprint, and the tie there was kind of driven by kind of dopamine. And as you just described, you know, we search for meaning. We have our own personal interests. To me, we have our own attentional blueprint. And to me, there's more I'm learning this field in coaching, the more I think there is a connection between dopamine and your particular motivational blueprint or attentional blueprint. But the way you describe we seek meaning and personal identity, it seems to me that we seek that in the absence of that meaning or dopamine or kind of whatever. That's the space where boredom might occur. Thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, we all have the things that are personally meaningful to us. And when something happens that's related to those things that are personally meaningful, we get a bit of a dopamine rush. You know, so the dopamine starts flowing. And, you know, so I think so that's kind of, and it's that experience of what it feels like when the dopamine starts flowing, that's what gives us a feeling of excitement or enjoyment or whatever, depending on where in the brain it is and how much of it and what else is going on. So, yeah, I mean, definitely, and we know, of course, that dopamine activity is tied to attention in general and ADHD in particular.
So,
you know, it all kind of comes together in that way.
It does. And what's interesting is just to kind of take it, because I want to talk about boredom, but also what's been clear in reading the literature is when a person is bored, there seems to be a link with more lack of performance. I'm not so sure I'm wording that word. You're not performing as well. You have more difficult time paying attention to things, and you have a lower level of motivation. Is that what you took from what we read?
Yeah, definitely.
Why do you think that is?
You know, I think it's that in order to perform well, we need to pay good attention to something. And one aspect of attention is arousal or alertness. So, you know, there are times when, you know, you're really excited by something or you had a good night's sleep or you had a big cup of coffee, whatever, but, you know, you have good alertness and, you know, it's easy to hold your attention on something. Contrast that with the times that you're tired, you're bored, you're depressed, or you're just kind of worn out, like, oh, God, I've been doing this too long. And then your alertness starts to fade, and it's much harder to hold your attention there when your alertness isn't as strong. So, you know, I think that what happens with boredom, you know, or when we feel bored or when it's been, you know, something has been too repetitive or it's just become tedious, that, you know, we begin to feel bored, it's that our attention becomes harder to hold on that thing that we're supposed to be doing. And sometimes the problem is that there isn't anything you're supposed to be doing and there isn't anything else to do either. You know, so like sitting on a plane for too long, or you're sitting and you're waiting for something. You're waiting for someone or something to happen. And let's say you don't have your phone on you, so you can't entertain yourself there. And you're just waiting, or it's a really boring lecture. So you're there and you're kind of trapped and you can't leave, but it's not really that fulfilling or doing much for you. And it's just hard to kind of hold your attention where it's supposed to be. And there's nothing else more interesting. So it isn't the, you know, a cute girl in the corner that you can, you know, look at and entertain yourself, or you can't doodle or chat with your neighbor or whatever. And it's that lack of anything to put your attention on to.
So I'm thinking out loud for a second. You know, that there's that old saying, if you want to get something done, give it to a busy person.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this, is that my to-do list is never done. You know, I can wake up one day with 50 things to do and get 45 of them done, or I can wake up with 6 things to do and get one of them done. It's like the last couple don't seem to get done, but I know that the less I have to do, the less it seems to get done. And the same is true for my kids. It's like when they don't have anything to do, they just nothing, you know, you only have to do one thing today and that one thing doesn't get done. If you've got a lot of things to do and you would do those things that would normally get done, then I guess you're motivated to do it or kind of whatever. But when you've got nothing to do and you can't get the same thing done,
yeah.
What do you think of that? I mean, is it? I'm thinking out loud on this. Just trying.
Yeah, I think it comes back to the alertness that when you have a lot going on and you're doing things and you're involved and you're engaged with the world around you. I think it tends to maintain itself, whereas when you don't have that much to do and there's plenty of time to do it, there isn't that sense of urgency to kind of get yourself up and going on it. So you kind of wander through your day a little bit more. And, you know, there's more breaks along the way, whether they're little brief breaks or some big breaks. But, you know, time kind of slides away on other things. And then, lo and behold, by the end of the day, not as much has gotten done.
Interesting. Well, I need to go to break real quick. When we come back, I'm going to talk about a little bit about boredom and its links to depression and a couple other things, just some correlations that are there. But before we go, everybody, to learn more about Dr. Tuckman, to get his books, to listen to his podcasts, go to adultadhdbook.com. And Dr. Tuckman, I always make sure, did I get that right?
You did.
AdultADHDBook.com. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Attendees and exhibitors are invited to participate in CHAD's Regional Education Conference on ADHD that will be held Saturday, September 21st at the Sheraton Dallas Hotel, Dallas, Texas. Details about the regional conference are available on our new website at chad.com. Don't miss this chance to become an exhibitor and sponsor at this regional event.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We're having a great, we're having an exciting discussion on boredom. Before the break, I mentioned I wanted to kind of talk about a few things, but while we were on break, I was reading a few things, Dr. Tuckman, and in the literature that we've been looking at, it says boredom can be associated with low arousal or high arousal states. And going back to the if you got something you want done, give it to a busy person, I have to ask you a really dumb question from your perspective. What is arousal? It's not motivation, right? At least I don't think it's in motivation. But I mean, I've never really thought about what arousal is. But
right.
Your thoughts, what is it?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think that, you know, I think arousal is basically it's sort of energy to do something. Now, motivation, I think, is when we channel the energy. So I think motivation is tied to a task or a goal, whereas arousal is not. So, like, if you are alert and aroused, you could, you know, do something like, I don't know, train seeing eye dogs, or you could do something like rob a bank, you know. So you have the energy, but it's not specific to anything.
I like that.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So if you've got a lot of stuff going on, you're aroused, you have lots of energy, and so it's easier to kind of focus on that task. But if you don't have a lot going on, you don't have a lot of energy, you don't have a lot of arousal, which is why I can't get those last five things done on my to-do list, whether I got 50 or five. That would make a lot of sense. It's because it's not necessarily the motivation. It's the arousal that kind of is like, it's almost like inertia that kind of gets you going in a weird kind of way.
Yeah, and that there's a finite amount of it, which I think we can all attest to at the end of the day, you know, when you're just kind of fading out. You know, you've been busy, you've been doing things, and, you know, there eventually reaches a point where you just run out of steam. And I think what it is that, you know, that arousal is starting to fade out. And I think to some extent, you know, obviously that's tied to, you know, circadian rhythms and sleep and stuff like that, that, you know, our bodies are supposed to begin to run out of steam at a certain point in the day so that we can get a good night's sleep. But some of it's also, I think, tied to what you're doing. And I think we've all had those experiences of doing one thing for too long and being like, oh, man, I'm sort of falling asleep here. And then we get up and we start doing something else. And, you know, in 37 seconds, we feel 10 times as energized. You know, so it's that. So arousal is also tied to the task that you're doing, and whether it's interesting, whether it's meaningful, whether it's tied to, you know, a reward or punishment that's close enough in time that it means something.
I really like what we're doing here because we have the motivation and arousal because, as you've described it, like the circadian rhythm, like kind of in your day, but it's interesting because part of this has some roots in the notion of I coach teens sometimes, and I usually take a break over the summer, particularly the ones that aren't active, because they got if they got nothing going on, they're bored out of their mind, and they're less aroused, and the problem with it is in coaching and trying to get them to move forward, it's not that they lack motivation, but I like what you're saying, it's they're not aroused to activate the motive. It's like they don't have that energy to move them forward on what they're – it's not that they're not motivated. They're just not aroused to execute the motivation.
It hasn't hit their time horizon yet. And now we're getting, you know, into all sorts of other topics. But, you know, in other words, and, you know, I mean, I have the same experience when I have teenagers come in over the summer to talk about, you know, stuff related to school. Like, if you're trying to talk to a teenager in July about what they're going to do when school starts in September, you might as well be talking to them about retirement plans. It's as relevant to them as September is, you know. So they're not... they're not aroused, they're not alert to it because it's so far out, it's meaningless. As opposed to the paper due tomorrow, now you got my attention, now I can see it, I can see tomorrow, now I'm going to get up and moving and do something on it.
Awesome. Just to kind of summarize here, you know, in totality, what I'm taking from this is that boredom is really an attention issue and that it's... either lack of stimulation, there's some of the stuff is an unengaged mind or an activity that's not satisfying. What I've learned from this is the arousal piece of it. If you're not aroused, it's more difficult for you to pay attention to things, and hence that you might not get some things done. And it is kind of linked to performance because if you're not aroused, if you will, and you're bored, then you're less apt to engage in some of those things. I want to shift gears a little bit, Dr. Tuckman, because what was fascinating to me in what we were reading is that the correlation between boredom and depression and the correlation between boredom and substance abuse. After reading that, What are your takeaways from some of this, and what are your thoughts on the topic?
You know, there's sort of a what can feel like a fuzzy line between boredom and depression. That, you know, when we're bored, just plain old bored, it can feel the way we feel when we're depressed. And, you know, things don't have the same shine. We feel kind of disconnected from our emotions or from our experience. But, you know, but being depressed also makes things more boring, because part of depression is things are not as fun as they used to be. So that activity that would normally, you know, be arousing and get you going and you'd be interested in it, it's kind of like, well, I mean, I guess it's okay. It just doesn't fire us up in the same sort of way. So so they can definitely feel similar. I suppose if, you know, to really kind of be simplistic about it, boredom is a more transient sort of a state, hopefully, unless you're in prison or something, whereas depression is a more ongoing kind of a thing, you know, that we tend to not be depressed for, you know, I mean, a boring lecture might be kind of depressing in a, you know, informal sense, but, you know, as soon as you get out of the boring lecture, then, you know, you're interested in life again. So, but it is sort of interesting how they're similar, but they're not exactly the same.
Well, in the stuff that we did, there was a delineation. Everybody talked about there's a correlation. If you're highly bored, you're higher probability of being depressed, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
But they seem to differentiate the two. And I think on the article you sent me, they talked about if you can deal with boredom now, long-term boredom, and I'm not so sure I'm getting this right, but like, you know, back when we were kids and running around and we didn't have all these electronic games on the internet and stuff like that, and you didn't have the constant stimulation. I remember driving in a car, a three-hour car drive was like, with my brother in the backseat, stop touching me! It was like hell for my parents. I just got back from vacation where I drove to Kentucky for 12 hours, and everybody had their, you know, we have a little MiFi, so everybody's on the internet, and everybody's hunky-dory as if 12 hours didn't pass. And where I'm going with the article was talking about how in the old days, you know, you had to deal with boredom sometimes for 3 hours in the car, but you learn to deal with that over the long term. So what my take is, like, in the big picture, you learn to occupy your mind a little bit and you weren't as bored. But one of the things was alluding to is that this instant stimulation everybody has, it's like you're so used to being stimulated that I think they're postulating it likely will lead to long-term boredom. Like as we get older, it requires higher levels of stimulation to keep us. Now, with what I said, you want to comment on that? And you feel free to, if I misinterpreted, at least from your perspective, that particular piece of it, but I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I think I agree. I do think it's interesting. And, you know, I think that this is kind of the double-edged sword of technology, because on the one hand, you know, if you have a connection to the internet, whether it's a computer, a tablet, a phone, you know, iPods have connections to the internet. My Kindle has a connection to the internet.
Yep.
Like, there's an infinite amount of interesting stuff out there. So, I think that we do become, we kind of get out of practice, or if you're a kid growing up in this, you never get into practice of it. It's like you're not as good at sort of entertaining yourself, either with your own thoughts or finding something interesting otherwise in your environment that isn't coming at you from a screen. So absolutely, I can see kind of the long-term implications of this is that if you are in a situation where you can't easily access some sort of entertainment, that it's going to be a more uncomfortable experience for you because you're not as used to handling it.
You sparked something, and I'm going to tell this story. I've always thought that life is about a journey. You just want to kind of keep – it's not about getting there. It's about the dream of getting there. Like, I remember when I was a kid building, like, towns in a sandbox or, you know, doing a snowman. You had this dream of putting it together, but as soon as you had it together, almost inevitably, we just wrecked it and just started over. So it's that journey. And one of the things that I've observed in athletes – that really make it big is they're scrapping around, they're kind of pulling it together, then all of a sudden they go to the pros and then they make an ungodly amount of money and they get like, I mean, they don't go through the progression of, you know, the different levels of working your way up. They just jump to the best of everything, and after a while that gets boring and they begin to get in trouble because they're seeking more thrills. And, you know, it's kind of funny because I remember specifically when my son was six, we were somewhere, and for his birthday present, I bought this, like, three foot measuring tape, and it was like a buck and a half. And my wife got this big old contraption. It was like wow. It was kind of funny because he played with this buck and a half tape measure like all the, over the place. But the wow thing kind of fell by the wayside. And my deal was like, you know, buy them, you know, each year you want to progressively get something nicer to kind of bring it along. But if you get everything all at one time, then you get bored with it. And then you're likely to go get in trouble to go seek those thrills. So, I'm only sharing that because I'm certainly not an expert in boredom, and a lot of research needs to be done, but I just had to throw that in there because I just see so many times these athletes get out there, and they're like, wow, and a couple years later, they're in trouble. And literally, I've said this to other people myself. I mean, I think they're in trouble because they're bored. So
yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, it's sort of like, it's like, remember the last, the TV you had before the one you have now.
Yep.
And think how awesome. It's like, whoa, this is the best. I will never need a better TV than this. Right? And then you got the current TV, and you're like, God, that thing was terrible. I can't believe it was like watching, you know, a campfire practically or something. You know, so it's like no matter how great it something can be in the moment, there's a natural tendency to kind of accommodate to it, and it loses its shine. And I think that, you know, so there's this temporary spike in happiness and interest related to whatever that new acquisition or the new job or the new, you know, I moved, now I live somewhere else. And there's a spike, but then it kind of like we come back to baseline on it. And I think that, you know, what you're talking about with professional athletes, and we can talk about, you know, famous musicians and famous actors and politicians.
Yep.
It's, you know, it's like, as amazing as it is to be standing at the top of the heap like that, even that you can accommodate to. And you sort of, you know, it becomes a bit of old hat. And then you're going to seek something new to fight the boredom. Because it's like, oh, yeah, I had, you know, sex with three women today and whatever.
Yep.
Well, that's,
yep.
you know, whatever. I've done that every day the last month and a half. How about four women? Or let's add some cocaine into it. Or, like, I don't know, like, whatever. And it just gets crazier and crazier. But I think that, you know, there, and you kind of brought this up a little bit earlier, is that there's certain people who are particularly prone to getting bored. Like, they accommodate too quickly, and they accommodate too deeply, if that's the right word, in the sense that they get bored with it. And eventually, you know, they, you know, and rather quickly, more quickly than other people, they need something new. And either they need something bigger of what they already have, or they just drop and they need something new entirely. And of course, this is for folks with ADHD, this is kind of a common thing that comes up, at least for some of them. And it seems to cluster more among the folks who are more kind of impulsive and either currently or used to be hyperactive rather than just the attentive types. It's like, you know, oh, I'm really into woodworking, and they buy a whole bunch of stuff about woodworking. They're like, ah, woodworking is boring. And, you know, now what I'm really into is spinning clay pots and, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da. And, you know, so it's like it's they're all about it until it sort of loses its charm, as it inevitably does, and then they're off on to the next thing.
Absolutely. Two things, everybody out there, just to put this in context. Dr. Tuckman, when we're done, he's got another webinar to go to that's about ADHD and sex. So that he's preparing those last comments about the women and stuff like that. I hope you're not bored with our topic right now and just trying to get into the other one. But I just throw it out there just for grins and giggles. And you alluded to, and I want, after the break, I really want to kind of come back and talk about boredom and ADHD and some of the stuff that's there. But before we do, real quickly, we've talked about depression and boredom, but there's also a link between boredom and substance abuse, which is interesting because there's a strong correlation between ADHD and substance abuse. And it's interesting to me because if you're bored, you know, substances are interesting, and they're like they're stimulating. So it to me, they seem to go hand in hand. It's natural that would be a logical kind of progression, particularly in the conversation we talked about, because in the athletes thing is it's the stimulation, but so often they get involved in substances and kind of get in trouble as a result of that because they're trying to amp it up a little bit. So those are just my thoughts. Anything you'd like to add to that?
Yeah, definitely. I think that if you tend to grow bored with what's naturally around you, of course you're going to seek out higher forms of stimulation. And unfortunately, substance abuse or, you know, sexual addiction, or if not addiction, at least sexual, you know, problematic sexual acting out, is certainly one way of doing that, or overeating, or, you know, all sorts of other, you know, excesses. So if you're naturally prone to that, then, and you have access to those sorts of things, and you don't have breaks to stop you from starting that kind of stuff or getting too far into it, you can really get yourself into a whole lot of trouble. So yeah, I think that, you know, and I'm making this up, but it seems logical. I think that there's a little bit of I would assume there's a correlation between people who are stimulus seekers and, you know, professional athletes, musicians, actors, politicians, you know, the people in the limelight, that if they're bored with, like, you know, having a 9-to-5 job and then going home, they're going to seek out other things. And on the one hand, that can really drive them to greatness. But I think it can be a double-edged sword when they get bored with, you know, that high level, it's not enough, and then they seek out other, you know, sorts of activities that eventually land them in trouble.
And all of a sudden, they had a flash. Lindsay Lohan, that's the young actress that's in all the trouble these days, right?
Yeah, well, she's been in trouble for a long time, for what I can
tell.
But it's
like, you know, boom, boom. That's kind of an example of that thrill seeking gone wrong, as opposed to being channeled in successful endeavors. So,
prisons and rehabs, of which Lindsay Lohan has been in both, you know, are full of people who are stimulation seekers and are impulsive about it, and they act before they think about it, or they can't stop themselves.
But it's interesting. I'll just tell a story. For those who really listen to the show, know that I swam in high school and college, went to Olympic trials in 1984, all that kind of stuff that I got out. Several people I trained with did Ironman. Matter of fact, whoever got out of the water first, and from 86, I think, to 92, and Ironman was somebody I trained with in college. And anyway, I got done, was in Tampa, was a master swim coach for a period of time and trained a lot of triathletes. And I got to tell you, it was interesting, because if you're in triathlons many times, at least in the old days, you were specialized in a sport and you came to it. You just didn't wake up and do it. You were either a runner, biker, or swimmer to begin with. And it was fascinating to me because as I coached them, I got to know the people, and it was as if they were trading one addiction for another. They were either an overeater or had a substance abuse problem, or I think many of them were ADD. And one of them was classic. This woman was 40 years old one time, and training was so important to her that she had a stress fracture and actually went, I don't know the doctor that did it, but gave her a cortisone shot. I'm like, to train? That's
right.
How addictive behavior it was, and what a thrill seeker she was in terms of the endorphins. So anyway, with that being said, I want to run to break. When we come back, I want to drill down more specifically about boredom and ADHD, because I thought a lot of the stuff that we have read and studied on this was really made a lot of sense. Again, as a reminder for everybody out there, Dr. Ari Tuckman, you can go to adultadhdbook.com. And of course, go back in our archives. He's a frequent. I think you've actually been on the show more than anybody else. We got a gazillion really good shows of him. So don't. If you like this, go look in our archives for some of our other stuff. And so with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
You can't go off to school with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Do you have something those with ADHD need? Advertise on Attention Talk Radio. We are a narrowcast, internet-based radio show targeting those with or impacted by ADHD. To learn more about advertising opportunities, email attention@attentiontalkradio.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. Now for the great stuff, the meat of the show. If you got ADHD, you've probably been bored. And in the literature, what was interesting to me, Dr. Tuckman, is that the delineation between two types of boredom, internal, those, you have to have internal boredom and external boredom. Some, they kind of classify this. You have the internal people that you might be bored kind of cognitively, and those that need to rely more on external stimulus to kind of engage themselves. And what I read, what seemed to be consistent is the generalization, because everybody's a little different, is that if you have ADHD, you're more apt to be bored because you're more of an external stimulation type person. In other words, you need that external world to kind of keep you occupied as opposed to being able to cognitively keep yourself engaged. What do you think about all that?
Yeah, I think it definitely fits. And I think it does sort of break down along the lines of, people who are real sort of stimulus seekers. They seek stimulus outside because they're not as able to create stimulus inside, by which I mean sort of entertain themselves. So, and it seems like, from the research that these are the folks who tend to get more agitated when they're bored. They get restless, they get agitated. These are the kids and teens who, they don't just sort of sit and sulk quietly in a corner. When they are bored, you will know it. Like, they will come to you, they will nudge you, they'll become demanding and, just kind of unpleasant to be around because it's such an uncomfortable state for them to not have anything to do and to not be able to create something to do on their own.
I love what you just said, and if I recall correctly, that agitated state sometimes manifests in physical movement where they get up and they do around, they go do something to relieve themselves of that agitation as a result of the boredom, if I read that correctly. So it's much more visible.
Yeah, exactly.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and they really make themselves known in their boredom. It's very clear that this person is bored, as opposed to someone else. The more kind of internal types, they might be in the other room bored and kind of moping around, but they're not going to come and chase you down in order to let you know.
It's interesting because as we went through this, I've referenced this a gazillion times, might as well on this show too, but I found Dr. Barclay's executive function deficit disorder fascinating, particularly his level one thinking tools, which is metacognition in that world. But in that show, we talked about how kids, when you're young, you play. It's all external, and actually kids will actually talk while they're playing. You remove all the kids from the room, and they're still talking to themselves, which over time, it becomes privatized. It moves into your head, not just the play and the manipulation of information, and I've learned a lot from that because play is a lot about organization and sequencing, but it's external. But also as it moves into your head, that he calls it language you direct back on yourself, which is self-talk, if you will, is externalized. And so it's fascinating to me that conceptually when I'm coaching people, a lot of times we're trying to take the stuff that's been privatized and bring it back out to manipulate it. And it's fascinating to me that the stimulation issue of internal external is it makes some sense that those with ADHD need that external stimulation or gravitate to it if they have more difficulty, managing and manipulating, playing, if you will, information within their head. So it kind of there's this weird kind of connection to me that it's aligned like this, because again, what we read, it seems to like those with ADHD are more prone to boredom and need external stimulation, and as you described, that form of boredom results in more agitation, and so they're more known. Thoughts on what I just that correlation?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely it. That folks with ADHD, perhaps a little bit more than folks without ADHD, benefit from that external structure or the external, written reminder note, because they're not as good at kind of holding it internally inside their head or reminding themselves from within their own head about it. So the external reminder or removing distractions, removing temptations, because they're not as good at kind of stopping themselves internally from, the distractions and temptations. So yeah, I think that definitely fits that, some of these folks are not as good at finding things to do or you know, in terms of coming up with ideas of, you know, what might I do now, and then, you know, pursuing it and making it happen, or settling for, I wish I could do those other things, but this is the best I got right now, so let me make the best of it that I can. And I think that for some of the folks who get kind of agitated in their boredom, and they, you know, they seek out other people, and it's kind of like the kids who sort of pester their parents, you know, I think that it might be worth keeping in mind here that, you know, some of what they're getting, like that interaction with the parent, even though it's negative and it's not enjoyable in the true sense of it, it gives them stimulation, it gives them arousal and alertness and activation that they can't get otherwise. So sometimes it's not about, you know, take me to do something fun, you know, I mean, that would be preferable, or play with me and let's do something fun, but it's just that interaction is, you know, is better than sitting bored in that kind of uncomfortable state that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
So, go ahead.
Well, but, you know, in kind of tying this back to something that you had said kind of in passing is that the ability to tolerate boredom is extremely important because, you know, well, sometimes life is boring, you know, but if you can tolerate boredom here on this thing, whatever it might be, it perhaps leads to bigger and better things later. And, you know, we certainly, those of us who know kids and teens with ADHD or perhaps have been a kid or teen with ADHD, like, you know, you see this when it comes to homework. Oh, God, I can't do this. It's so boring. You know, why do I have to do geometry homework? This is stupid. I'll never use it, blah, blah, blah. You know, and they don't do as well, and their grades suffer, and then that affects, you know, college and careers, and, you know, it really kind of it has the potential to spill forward into the future, as opposed to the kids who are perhaps just as bored or maybe even more bored with the geometry homework, but they recognize I need to do this because it will lead to better things later. Or, you know, I don't know, if you're painting your room, you know, spending the time, boring though it might be, filling holes and patching this and caulking that and doing the prep work so that once you actually start throwing paint on the wall, it looks good, it looks better, and it lasts longer. But, you know, if you have trouble tolerating that boredom, you're going to wind up having to repaint a whole lot sooner because, it, you know, you're not, you know, creating a good surface for the paint. So, you know, I think that, and that's something that's, you know, kind of typical for folks with ADHD is that it's harder to kind of see far down the road and tolerate doing this thing now because it's in service of that better outcome later.
Well, it's interesting because you've been talking about this, and we need to start wrapping things up a little bit, and we're not going to be able to kind of cover this now, but I was like, okay, so we've talked about, you know, boredom. It's an attention issue. There's not a lot done. We're still trying to define a little bit. We talked about it's linked to depression and substance abuse. And we talked about it here in terms of ADHD, and so the issue really is if you have ADHD and you're bored, what do you do about it? And it's funny because I've just been making, like, I haven't really coached anybody directly on boredom. I have indirectly, and things that come to mind was, you know, one, keep yourself busy, because if you can keep yourself aroused and you change things relatively frequently, that's probably, if it keeps you, like, engaged and aroused, and interested, that would probably be good. But there was another thing that you sparked that was kind of funny, and that's the notion of learn cognitively, learn to deal with boredom. And you and I we've done some interviews on metacognition and what is attention and intuition and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But that notion of saying, hey, I'm going to have some downtime and I'm going to be bored and I'm going to figure out cognitively what I'm going to do in my mind to help me deal with boredom. And as an aside, I did an interview with a Greg Kirch, was a fascinating interview with me, was on meditation, and I never realized that meditation is really attention exercise. And that led to an interview I did with Dr. Mark Bertram on, we talked about awareness, contemplation, mindfulness, and meditation, like how they're all the same. But the fundamental thing is to kind of crawl into your head and say, I'm going to get bored, and I'm going to practice entertaining myself in my head as a means to deal with some of this stuff practically and manage it in the future. And we might have to think about that and maybe do a show about that whole piece of it, because at the end of the day, if you're going to overcome boredom, it's really a cognitive function to me, because you either have to design the environment for the external stimuli, or you have to create the environment for the internal stimulation. Thoughts, Dr. Tuckman?
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's kind of interesting. I mean, boredom fundamentally involves attention, and then we have thoughts about the state that we're in and whether our attention is focused, you know, strongly on something or whether it's kind of drifting aimlessly. So we have thoughts about it, and then we have feelings based on the thoughts we have about the situation. So it's just kind of a very simple example. You know, I had a client in here earlier today. She's a mom. She's got a couple of kids. She got a job. She's got a 40-minute drive. And, you know, some people, like, one way of looking at a 40-minute commute in this new job is, oh, God, 40 minutes is so boring. It's the same road every time. Her view on it is, it's wonderful. I can sit in the car. I have my own thoughts. I can put on a book on tape or a CD, and I can listen to things. Like, it's the same exact experience. And the feeling that one can have over this same exact situation depends on the thoughts that you have about it or how you assess the situation. So, you know, I think that if you see it as, you know, whatever kind of situation that you're bored in, if you see it as, oh, this is terrible, there's nothing that I can do with it, then you're going to feel bored and restless and, you know, want it to end, as opposed to if you look at it as a time of, like, you know what, I'd rather be doing something else, yes, but here I am, can't change that. So what can I do with this time? You know, let me think. I can't, you know, pull out my phone in this boring lecture. I can't leave. That'll have I'll get marked down or something. But what can I do? Like, you know, whether you reflect on the meaning of life or think about, you know, what should I, you know, let's think, what have I learned lessons over the past year? What's coming up? You know, I've been meaning
to
be healthier.
If you don't mind, I want to cut you off here because I got to wrap this up because you got somewhere else you need to go to. But I got a real life example of this that is a great segue into your next conversation. I live in Tampa. We have Adventure Island. It's a water theme park. And when my younger son was little, he used to love to go into the. We have this like lazy river that you go around in circles and you just kind of sit there. And I went out there one day, and he's with his buddy. They're kind of playing around. I'm bored out of my mind. I'm like, what am I going to do? And all of a sudden, my goal became to see if I could catch all the teenagers groping each other underwater. And all of a sudden, this lazy river thing going around became this amazing awareness type thing because there was so much going on underwater. It was amazing to me. And I would flip over like, oh, there it is. And so there you have it. It was a perfect example of cognitively saying, hey, I got a boring situation. What am I going to do to occupy my mind? Which is a perfect segue into your next webinar. So, with that, Dr. Tuckman, thank you so much for coming on the show. For everybody out there, again, to learn more, go to adultadhdbook.com. And Dr. Tuckman, thank you very much.
Hey, my pleasure. You always pick the best topics, and we always have a whole lot of fun with it.
Well, somehow I think we're going to do more with this. I don't know what that's going to be, but we can be like the boredom leaders in the ADHD world, all right?
There you go.
All right. You go off, do your thing. Everybody else, catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.